Woody Shaw on trumpet leading the band with Dat Deer as a retort to this here, which was the other counterpart to the sound. This is from his 1987 album, Imagination. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead. collapsing in increments with a cold and with throat trouble and a generally deteriorating brain. But we must hold on, mustn't we? Well, things are still happening as the effort is being made to bring to some kind of conclusion this bizarre experience that we've been having, the possible impeachment of the president is now in the home stretch. The vote on President Donald Trump's impeachment will come next week, according to reports, but the 41-member House Judiciary Committee today and tomorrow will continue its final debates as it works to finalize two articles of impeachment against Trump. One, abuse of power, and two, obstruction. So we will continue our discussion. We'll pick up from where we left off, wherever that was, and we will discuss what all of this is supposed to mean. You will notice Trump has, decidedly calmed down. He's not as frenetic and insane. Hopefully that is a sign that he's been put on some medication or he is finally coming to his senses about power. But in any event, he has mellowed a little bit and is not as outrageous as he usually is as the process goes on. And, I hope I don't sound really finicky here, but I'm not impressed with this process. I had imagined this whole thing being very solemn and very precise and very encompassing, all-encompassing. Well, of course, they still have the option to add more charges as they go. But the way things have been handled and the way things are turning out, it leaves me with a great deal of doubt. It seems to me almost as if there was some kind of discussion that for the sake of whatever, for the sake of the country, for the sake of the individual parties, for the sake of certain individuals, for the sake of what it looks like, for all those things, I get the feeling that there was a pact, some kind of discussion where there was an agreement that we'll try and muster up something that looks, at least to the public, it looks like we try to do the right thing here. So you, Mr. Trump, you will behave, and we, the party trying to impeach you, will try to hold back on our animus, and we try to look as if we'll all try to look as if we've grown up and we can deal with very unpleasant situations such as this in a professional manner. Because I can't believe that all this time and effort and energy and overtime and people working late into the night and all of this, and we have only two charges. And there are so many others, I think, that have been left on the table. I can't help but believe there was a deal made somewhere that, okay, this is as far as we go. We do not want to traumatize the nation. We don't want to look like idiots in the sight of the world. We are so embarrassed. Let us not get this any worse than it is now. Let us put a cork in this thing. Because right now we look stupid in the eyes of the world. There are probably 50 or more charges that should be lodged against Trump. But for the sake of propriety, for the sake of how the United States and its government and its president, even if he is to be impeached, he's not to look like a total simpleton and idiot. So they will draw the line. Because to go any further would be to just destroy all doubt. People all over the world would know how mediocre, how simplistic, how terrifying it is that this powerful nation is being ruled this way. And this doesn't all accrue to Donald Trump, members of Congress. I talked about Nancy Pelosi. You are the leader of the opposition for all intents and purposes. And we are supposed to believe that what is happening now is a great example of your leadership. There's no leadership here. You reacted to other people's leadership. You had at least 2 years on the job to get things moving. You didn't. And you had the temerity to say, I don't think it's the right time, as if, what are we? I thought it was a democratic society, but you single-handedly made the decision that you did not want to proceed with a prosecution of the president because you and you alone decided that the country couldn't handle it. For 2 years, there was no movement on this. But you got paid. People are suffering. People have immediate needs that need to be tended to. And you there quaffed and ready to take charge, but not actually taking charge. People had to force you. Your hand had to be forced to get off your butt and do something. You are overseeing a process, may I remind you, that is totally white in 2019 America. And you can't see. What a profound statement that is. That as the head of the opposition party, in the Speaker of the House, not Speaker of the House, yes, sorry, Speaker of the House, you're totally in reactive mode, and the country is going to hell. The president is in manic phase, doing all kinds of impossible, illegal, unsavory things. And it's all about, well, you don't think it's the right time. Meaning, I hear you, but I'm ignoring you. And I can afford to ignore you because I'm the boss. So now that it actually has happened and there's movement on this thing called impeachment, there's the second part to this. And the second part is, okay, we've done enough damage. Let's stop. Let's agree to stop. Let's not go where we really need to go. Because all hell is going to break loose in this country. We let it go on for so long. We let it go on without challenge. I'm talking about official challenge. We were so afraid to engage this man in the manner that he should be engaged. And again, when you do decide to act, and you look around, not one person of color, and you're the leader. Not one person of color. I talked about it, and you know what? Al Green, the congressman from Texas, who first voiced the need to impeach this president, he remarked about it as well. What kind of country is this? You're proving over and over again that you're living in an apartheid country. There should be no illusions about that. When the heavy decisions are to be made, all people of color are excused. You don't have the capacity to do that. You don't have the capacity to lead. And in any event, you're not even to be seen, let alone heard. This is the Democratic Party behaving like this. And yet, Pelosi is not challenged. She is quite the opposite. She's held up as an example of great and dignified leadership. Absolutely. Well, they can have it. I'm done with that garbage of trying to pretend that what I see happening isn't happening, because you just can't take it after a while. You just can't take it. At every level, there is an attack. At every level, there is an effort to excuse. Even when, like now, Trump should be hung out to dry. The best they could come up with is two charges. Two charges. Are you kidding me? And, you know, they're holding up as evidence that they've done their job. They have, and they continue to hold the president accountable. It took 41 members of the House to do this, to produce two charges, despite what we are hearing and what they have said. Gerald Nadler, who heads the Judiciary Committee, himself said, the evidence is overwhelming. The president's wrongdoing, not just with regard to obstruction and abuse of power, I mean, you really have to be dense in the brain not to see. We saw the charges unfold before our very eyes and ears. We know that. But all this, the stenographers and the recording people and camera people, all of this marshaled, all of these assets to produce two charges. And now they're trying to explain to us that they have more than enough. Have you ever heard anybody going to trial in any typical case where the prosecutor, which is what the House is, the Judiciary Committee is, the prosecutor says, well, we have more than enough. We'll stop here. No. What they do instead is that they get as much information as they possibly can. And they follow where the information leads them. They don't decide, well, this is enough. We have enough on this charge. Two charges. And these two charges will stick. We are sure of it. And they will deliver us what we want, which is impeachment. Now, what they're not mentioning is that it has a ways to go after that. It has to go to the Senate. It is the Senate that conducts the trial, if you will. You walk in there with two charges. Already that says to me, somebody has to be ready to make a deal. And the deal is, or will be, that A will come to some arrangement where, for the sake of the country and for the sake of democracy and whatnot, we're not going to go all the way with impeachment. We will censure the president. We'll give him 20 lashes with wet spaghetti. That ought to do it. And we'll wag our finger in his face and say, now, you see that we did this and that in technical terms, we won our case, but we're not going to behave as nasty as you. We are going to be gentle for the sake of the country. And we'll go easy. We're not going to impeach you. We'll give you a very stern warning and make you promise on everything you hold holy, which is nothing, that you won't do these things again. We have to concentrate, Mr. President, and in conjunction with us, we all have to work together to deal with the problems of the country. And we're willing to set aside the punishments that really are due you. We're willing to push them aside if you are willing to push them aside too. And we will hold hands and we will pray a solemn prayer. And we will call upon God, because that's always works. When everything fails, you call upon God to help us in this matter of putting the nation back on course together. This is not the time for a fight. This is a time for us to work together. That's one tactic I think they might approach if they haven't done so already. The other tactic is that they can try to continue. They would hold in abeyance other charges that they probably are investigating or have investigated, but haven't formalized as charges against the president. But they always have the option to add new charges, which means they'll drag the country through this process again. So either way, they don't look good. Nobody looks good here as leaders. Nobody. The president doesn't look good. The Democrats absolutely don't look good. Although they would claim this as a victory over the president and a victory for the Democratic Party, it will be the nation's Christmas present from the Democrats. And for the Republicans, they are saying, you do what you have to do. We control the Senate. We are not going to allow this president to be impeached, because now that raises questions about our power. You can do what you want to do. We're not afraid. We're ready. We control the Senate. You have no power here. And there you go. As usual, continues. That's where we are. So I'm sick of this. Because not just, the thing with Donald Trump, we called Donald Trump out early on, very, very early in the game. You may recall I've done several commentaries about the concern about Donald Trump and even his sanity. But just the same, you look across the horizon at both parties, right? And you see, you get scared. This is what is running the country? These people are in charge of this country and by extension of much of what happens in the world? These mediocre people? This is what we elevate as our leadership? The Democrats and the Republicans, for the most part, very, very undeserving of their privileged position of so-called leadership. They haven't been leading. And look where they brought us. And we keep thinking it is important to support one or the other when they are the same. There's no difference. So I think that's what we are going to see. Well, they have today, and they're going to debate some more tomorrow, and they will come up with something of a decision by next week as to whether it's on. But we have to look at this very, very differently and not be guided by the so-called media. They have no interest in taking a, quote, leadership role in exposing anything that is vital for us to know. They're just reporting. They're not digging up any dirt. They're not investigating. They're just reporting. The major media have taken the position that they're hands off. their hands off. So we will just have to wade through this infection by ourselves. Use our own brain. That's why I say all the time, don't rely on people to decipher reality for you. You have a brain. You can do that yourself. You can think for yourself. You put together the pieces that you see occurring, and you can come up with a pretty good picture of what is happening, and more importantly, what you need to do to protect yourself and your community as these things happen. Because even if you know what's going on, when things start happening, you can't afford to be by yourself. You have no power to defend yourself. But pay attention. I'll take a little break here, and we'll come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. We are in the home stretch of the impeachment, or the possible impeachment, of President Donald Trump. What are you thinking? Right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead. We're talking about the inevitability of things when this period in our collective history ends or comes to a close, having to do with the possible impeachment of the president. Dylan from New York, you on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, I just wanted to just say, you know, I used to love listening to the show. I used to have interesting guests on the show. Used to have very, very intellectual people, and you just don't anymore. And it's just every day is just asking people what they think and, you know, what's on their minds. But I just don't know what good that does. I mean, there's no real answers. It seems like you don't have any real answers for anyone. I mean, what happened to the really, really good guest? And are you grooming someone, you know, who will eventually take your
you'd
place?
You'd like to see me go?
Seriously, I'm no, not at all. But I'm just saying, nothing lasts forever.
No.
Nothing lasts
this.
Forever. So
very simple. I like the idea of interacting with people and their real thoughts. It's important, of course, and it's a good idea. You have people who know things, and they specialize in these things. They spend years studying things, and therefore you can reach out to them, and they can give you a particular perspective on a subject. But nothing compares, in my view, to the source that I want to reach, which is people, just regular people. What are you thinking? Because after all, something is on in the background. Dylan?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, but I'm hearing a reverb of something.
Oh, okay, I don't know what that is. I have no idea. Okay. I don't know. I'm listening, yeah.
Pete, could you name me any medium that routinely devotes a substantial amount of time and space to people and what they're thinking.
What's the purpose? After you've garnered all of everyone's thoughts, what happens next?
The first thing is to get people used to the idea. People are not used to the idea of being asked what you think.
There's no time for that.
Of course there is always time. Because if I were to ask a so-called, quote, expert, it would still be time.
There's 200 to 300 species that are being extinct every day. By the time we get to 2026,
but
there'll be no more species
you're
left.
You're being obstructionist. And you're refusing to understand where I'm going.
Actually
using this medium as a popular medium where people routinely, they get used to the idea of occupying space. Most people are not used to the idea of occupying space or being asked, what is it that you think? Or what is your analysis? In that sense, you're an expert as well.
What good does that do? I'm trying to find a solution. What's the solution? That's all I'm asking. Well, what's the solution?
That
what
is
will
a solution
it do? What will it
in
accomplish?
And of itself. When people get used to the idea that they are entitled to occupy intellectual space, whatever your opinion is of that space or what it is they express, they are not used to being asked or to be invited in to talk about issues from their perspectives. We just heard a congressman say there is not a single person of color in all of this. And that's in Congress.
Even if there was a person of color, how does that solve homelessness? How does that solve poverty? How does that solve people dying of diseases?
This is a tendency in the left world to believe that one thing can solve every problem. No, it can't. And you would be naive to think that. You can solve a problem, or you can contribute to the solution standing in your space. What is your space? I'm asking you now, what is your space as you see it? What are you doing in your space? Did we lose you? We might have lost Dylan. You see, now we come to, this is where the rubber meets the road. We talk all the time. And you know how frustrated I am about just talking for talking's sake. Now I'm asking for accountability. You will be able to share with other people what you're thinking. I'm not interested in, you know, one expert after the other expert after the other expert. I'm assuming, as I've said, that you would be interested, you would take an interest in augmenting your knowledge. You would go and research on your own. You will go and add more information to your knowledge base. I'm not going to be the be-all and end-all of your information. So our job is to take it seriously. And we should be thankful that there is a space where you can, just as you are, there are no qualifications, you don't have to have four PhDs in order to participate in this program. There's no, you know, qualification set up. You call in, you have something to say. If it isn't quite what we expect, we'll be kind and let you know. But we need to hear from you. We need to create that space. I gave a talk in New York some time ago, And this is what it is, I said. How do you rebuild community? You have to create a safe space where people, no matter what they're thinking, feel comfortable in offering their ideas and in exchanging ideas. This is the place we have been for so long, and we have never corrected it. We have built the exact duplicate of the other side. We have this expert here, and that expert there, and the other expert there. Mind you, I recognize that they are very important in our struggle, our collective struggle. But we have to encourage ordinary people, regular people, to step forward and be brave enough. Don't feel that you are lacking anything. You have as much right to express yourself. And I encourage that. I love that. So, you know, Dylan referred to the fact that, you know, all we hearing is people one after the other just talking. They're not just talking. Almost everyone can tell you that they're not invited. They don't feel that they belong in public space sharing their ideas. And that's the first thing I want to utterly destroy. You have an idea, you have an opinion, you're entitled to express it. And I will make sure that the environment is conducive for everybody doing that. Come forward with your ideas. Whether people agree with you or not is not the focal point, in my opinion. It's getting used to the idea of sharing your views without feeling intimidated or, you know, out of place. This is what we do when we are in the business of creating community. If you've been listening to this program, and you have, because you said, you noted that I used to do this, of getting lots of experts coming on. Everybody is doing that. Everybody has experts. Why do I want to follow the crowd? The experts are right here. Let's get to that. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air. Hello, Lincoln. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hello?
Hello. You're speaking remotely. If you could speak directly into your mouthpiece or speaker or whatever it is, microphone.
Maybe it's my earphone. Let me take it off. One second. Yeah, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
You are on?
Yes.
Yes, you are on the air.
Yeah. In reference to your to Nancy Pelosi, and also you said yesterday you would continue our response to your analysis.
Okay, sure.
So I'm going to try to bring the two together. And briefly, I would want to say something about that brother who called just now, Dylan. In reference to your analysis yesterday on Hillary, I agree with your analysis.
I want to tell you right up front, you don't have a lot of time.
Okay.
So you've enumerated three areas that you're going to address, and we won't have time for that. So pick where you want to land there, and let's move on.
Okay. Just quickly, remember, this is the same thing Nancy Pelosi did in the Bush era. You remember when she was vying for the position? She had promised that she was going to bring forth the impeachment of Bush. And somehow, as soon as she got her position, mysteriously she said that was off the table. So this is not the first time she's doing that. And that was an even more egregious crime because, remember, Bush had called, him and company had caused the death of over 100,000 Iraqis. And suddenly, based on a lie, and suddenly she had said, we're not going to impeach him anymore. So we must not, we have to always put things in context to understand. And when you refer to Nancy Pelosi, we must remember that it is rumored that her husband is one of the people who goes to Bohemian Grove. And, you know, if people know about Bohemian Grove, they will understand what that implicates. Okay, in reference to your analysis yesterday, I do agree with your analysis, but this is something that I was always hinting at. The impeachment process was always about Hillary Clinton. She never went anywhere. They were in the background orchestrating this. But the Donald Trump impeachment was a big distraction for us. And what happened is because people were in a stupor and were emotionally disjointed after the election, they were able to manipulate us and dupe us because we are all on different plantations. One belongs to the Democratic plantation, one belongs to the Republican plantation. And so, because we were so emotionally disjointed, we were not able to see that all this impeachment thing and the Russia thing was a big hoax. And we are still in this emotionally disjointed place. So we're still analyzing this impeachment process from a wrong premise. But I do agree with you that about the Hillary thing. But I want to say to you that it's not that she just came back again. She didn't go anywhere. And if you look at it,
she came back in the public eye. She came back in the public eye in a more emphatic way. Of course, she was always there. But
yeah, I was just trying to make sure that we understand that. That's all.
Uh-huh.
I said I was just trying to make us understand that she didn't go anywhere. She, even though she wasn't in public view, they were behind the scenes, like, you know, the ones manipulating the puppets, we the puppets.
Hello? Well, thank you for calling in today and contributing. We have E from Edgewater. You're on the air.
Greetings, Eutrice and the PRN audience.
Greetings. My,
greetings.
You're getting formal, very formal.
I usually greetings. Say good afternoon, but I like greetings also.
Okay.
Now,
that's fine.
The first caller, Dylan, I don't think he was making a criticism to you, and I'm glad that you have this forum so we can express ourselves, because without this, we'd be in big trouble. So everything you're doing on your show is really good. I understand his position. I like to hear what's going on in Puerto Rico and Haiti, and the people that you have on the show always enlighten us about those
issues. But, you
know,
he did not take into account. I've always done that. In fact, people used to criticize me. Why are you taking us over here and then over there and all these different places? Because, you know, I said, you know, you have to be aware of what's happening in the world. But it is a special time in our country. This period of time that we are in right now. And in my view, we need to talk about it, which means if you're going to talk about it, then you have to forego or delay discussions on other things. This is important. So you have to pause. And
exactly.
You know.
I agree 100%. I didn't call to talk about what Dylan said. I just wanted to make that comment. I also would like to have a break from Trump Nation. for a couple of weeks, and we would tune back into it, and everything will be the same. We put up to 2 years with Mueller's investigation. For 2 years went on, nothing happened. And the same thing's going to happen with this impeachment stuff. But it seems to me why I really called and what I want to say is, but the wrong person is on trial here. That you know the person that should be on trial here, and if you took a guess, you know who I'm talking about, right?
No, because there are so many people who fill the bill, right,
in that sense. I'll make it easy for you. Joe Biden should be on trial here because he used his position as vice president to put pressure on the Ukraine government that he was going to withhold these loans in order to get his son a cushy job, and that's illegal to do. So he should be on trial here first. We should be thanking Donald Trump for exposing this, and the whistleblower who listened to his phone
call,
you
know, I don't think that's
saying
factually
something
correct.
Wrong.
I don't think that's factually correct. I think that has been an allegation, but it hasn't been proven.
Well, let me just give you my point of view, okay, Yatrice? If Donald Trump was supposed to use a committee that he would appoint to go investigate what happened in Ukraine with Joe Biden. But he went over that feeling that he's the president, he has the right to do this. So, but it seems to me Donald Trump wasn't looking to put pressure on the Ukraine government to get a favor for his son or daughter. He was doing it to find out about what Joe Biden did before this, okay? So if Joe Biden did something wrong, then he should be the one on trial, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump.
But in any event, it's wrong to do.
The end justifies the
means. It is wrong to do. It is illegal for a president to do that.
I know, but this proves my point of how we're so manipulated. Like David from Brooklyn says, they do such a good job on us that we don't care about Joe Biden, what he did. We only care about getting Donald Trump taken out of office. That's all we care about. And it's a disgrace that we're allowing ourselves as educated people to be manipulated in this fashion that they're doing to us on purpose to drive us crazy. And it's a disgrace. Okay? Joe Biden was the person that did something wrong. And Donald
allegedly,
Trump
you
was
say,
exposing
you don't
that.
Have the
it
facts.
Wasn't alleged because I heard Joe Biden's own voice say, tell Obama about it. He's on my side. You've got to give my son this job or you're not going to get this money. I heard him say that on the tape that they have. Okay? What was he talking about? Are we making up stories in our head to protect Joe Biden now?
I agree with you. It is hard to believe that Joe Biden didn't have any knowledge of how his son ended up with a $50,000 a month consulting practice outside of the United States in a country that had a strong need for a close relationship with Washington, which Biden at the time could easily have facilitated. So it wouldn't be wrong in that instance to say there is a connection, and in which case it ought to be investigated. It absolutely should be investigated, because here's a guy who has no expertise at all in natural gas, and this is a natural gas company. He has no experience in this area. He has no experience, period. And this right. is a kind of money he could draw down on his own? I don't think so.
Right, but that's
Biden is trying to persuade us, he doesn't know anything, he had no part in it. I mean, that doesn't even fly.
Right, but see, he's not the only person that does things like this. All wealthy people and people in position of power will try to help their sons and daughters get something cushy, easy thing to do. It's not
Trump's
supposed to be allowed.
Trump's entire family is earning big money. with taxpayer salaries.
Right.
Okay, taxpayer-funded salaries.
Right.
So they all do it.
Right, they all do it. Even the ones that got caught bribing the colleges to get their sons and daughters in a position in college. You know, it's going on all over this country, and it's rampant. But we're not getting our finger on the pulse of what it is. This whole thing, see, I don't have much ammunition. I can't prove to you that they don't count the votes. But you can't prove to me that they do. And I'm trying to use this as an example of how they manipulate us into thinking that. See, we might have the right to go to the polling place and make our selections, but I don't think they get tallied up. I think they have this already planned out way ahead of time. And it's been since John F. Kennedy was murdered that this has been going on. And we're just not waking up to it. We keep thinking we have this power that we wield called the vote. And that's how we're going to change things. And it's never happened. And I've been here 65 years and I haven't seen it happen since the last 60 years, the last 10 presidents since Johnson. It's all been the same baloney crap. You know what I'm talking about. And we keep believing the same stupid story that we've got to vote out the bad ones and bring in the good ones. Well, how come the selection that they give us, then if we have the power of the vote, then we should also have the power to select who we want to vote for, what people we want to be running. What's the point of having a power of vote if you've got Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump to vote for? It doesn't make any sense. So this is proving my point that we're just victims here and we're living under a dictatorship. And Donald Trump's not the dictator. He's the puppet they put in there. And the system is the dictator, the system that we've been living under. And they use every facet in life, the holidays that we observe, the food that we eat, the cars that we drive, it's all been a made-up story to get us to believe in that they were doing something to help us, and it's the wrong thing. And that's what I got to say today to free my mind of.
Thank you, E, for calling, and I understand the passion with which you speak. And I just want to thank you for contributing today. You're on the air, Mart, from New York, and you have a tiny bit of time.
Greetings, beloved. Listen, let me first, I need some more time, but let me first deal with E. First of all, Biden and what was done was absolutely, it's interesting that it is not considered illegal, right? But it was absolutely unethical, and the Obama administration is reporting coming out now that they tried to alert him that it was not a good thing that he was doing. But there is some confusion about the prosecutor. The prosecutor, by the whole international, was one of those Ukrainian prosecutors that Giuliani is talking to now that was absolutely corrupt. So he was on good ground, but he wasn't in terms of letting his son be in that position that was a conflict of interest and he wasn't qualified for. But you don't go to a foreign power to get, you know, you supposed to have a Justice Department and or an ethics board that deals with that, so that doesn't get Donald off the hook.
Well, it is illegal. I know we're getting very finite in the definition.
What
is
illegal
in the sense that it's beyond unethical because.
Yes,
this is
I agree.
Part of the department's
rule. And it came out that the Obama administration, certain aides, tried to make him aware that he was not, that was not a good thing that was being done with the son. But that is a separate issue, though, from, and it is a treaty when you try to deal with a law enforcement issue. And Zelensky and his team actually asked them, the whole thing with Donald was he wanted a public announcement. He wasn't interested in investigation because, first of all, if you do an investigation, You can't really announce it to have a real investigation. You have, you know, witnesses getting notice and lining up their testimonies, everything.
These things are put before us as explanations. They don't matter. That's the first thing you should... These explanations do not matter. The fact is, illegal activity was going on by any standard anywhere in the world.
But it has to be considered. It certainly should have been considered illegal activity, but that's not what the system had in place.
No, that's not what higher ups in the system, decision makers in the system.
You know, the same way with Hillary going off to state universities and getting checks for a speech for $250,000 from a state university. This is a recent report that I heard. And this, as a senator, she was in charge of, in a certain respect, to these same state universities. So it's all a big mess. I know your program is closing.
I'm so sorry about that, but you will have an opportunity at some point before the weekends to come back and finish up your thought. So that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you, Ma'at, for calling and contributing. And we will return to each other tomorrow and see what news we should be discussing. Bye-bye.